And my question is this: is there a difference between being a believer and being a disciple? And I need you to help me come to a conclusion with this. So someone tell me, is there a difference between being a believer and being a disciple? Okay, what is the difference? I'm talking about as a Christian, as a believer in Christ. Okay, okay. And that's kind of the conclusion I think most of us will come to. Yes. They get to the belief part and they just stop. You know, they don't fulfill the destiny that Christ has for his people in his discipleship. And so I want to look at that just a little bit today. You know, here I have a picture of the discipleship. And unless you hop on board, you know, you're not going to be cruising with Christ, you know. You have to be on board in order for it to go where it's going to lead you. And so so I thought this was just kind of a cute illustration of that. So I typed in the word discipleship on the side of a picture of a cruise ship. But yeah, we have to be a part of the discipleship. And so today I want to talk just a little bit about, are we disciples of Jesus, and maybe what he kind of tells us about being disciples of him. And also, was Jesus a disciple himself of his Father? And so you see this little quote here, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. We have to move in the direction of God, and we have to keep moving. And it's not a stagnant place that we are as Christians. We have to constantly move forward. We read that in the scriptures, how, you know, in Hebrews it talks about them you know, continually drinking the milk instead of moving on and getting stronger and getting to the meat of what God wants them to do. And we see that in several different places throughout the scriptures. So, but the probably the most important command is, it was the one that Jesus made before he ascended into heaven. And it's this: go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So this was the make disciples. Okay, it didn't say go out there and make believers. It went beyond that. It said make disciples of all nations, not just anybody, but all nations, everybody. Jesus came and died for all mankind, not just for me and you. But he did that for everybody. He was no respecter of persons when it came to his salvation. And so, how did Jesus make disciples? Well, here I have the 7 I's of disciple making. And we can look at this in lieu of the way Jesus approached calling his disciples. Now, first of all, you have to make an impression on somebody. You know, you have to be the example of what a disciple is before you can convince somebody else that they need to be a disciple. That goes for anything that we do. We have to set the example of what we, and model what we want people to become, instead of you know, just telling them, because most people won't do just whatever you tell them. They want to see it in action. They want to see how you do it. And then, you know, we remember on the shores of Galilee when Jesus invited his disciples, you know, Peter and John and James and them, to become his disciples, you know, to leave their nets behind and to come follow me. Because we know, all of us know pretty much, that the word disciple means what? Follower. A follower. And so in order to be a disciple, you have to be willing to follow. And sometimes we forget to invite people that they need to join us in following Jesus Christ. That's part of the progression in making disciples. So we involve intention. You know, what is the intention? Why are you going to become a disciple? What's in it for me? What's in it for you? you know, why should I drop everything I'm doing and follow Jesus Christ? We have to be able to give an answer for that, those kind of questions, and tell people what Christ has done for them, and then initiate the job as a follower. Jesus Christ, in his example of everything that he did when he came to this earth, he was the disciple of his Father. He did everything that he did was because he was following the will of his dad, right? And so, and we never see him stray from that pathway. His pathway throughout his entire course of his life was as a disciple of his Father, you know, to the down to the very end. He sacrificed his life because it was the will of his Father, and he was going to follow that will. That's what it means to be a disciple. And sometimes we forget to take the time to explain what is the job of a disciple. What can we do as disciples? What are we supposed to do as disciples? And instruct the younger ones how to become a disciple, how to become a true follower, and do the things that are the will of God. And that's through the scriptures. That's through teaching them the will of God through what God has said himself. And hopefully they will imitate us to do that. And it's all surrounded that immersion. We immerse ourselves in the will of God. We baptize ourselves into, you know, commitment that we're going to follow the will of God, that we're going to be disciples, and we're going to be true disciples. We're not going to be wishy-washy disciples, but that we're going to follow him. And so we're going to look at the question today, are you a disciple of Jesus? Every one of us can weigh it ourselves based upon some of the things that we're going to look at. The first thing is a definition of a disciple. Well, we know it's a follower, but it's also someone who is a learner, who learns about what it means to be a disciple, and a follower, and a teacher of others, making others disciples. Jesus didn't just go through life by himself, but he invited others to be followers of the same God that he was following, you know, of who he was, in essence. And so there's some scriptures that I'm gonna share with you today. There's more than that I'm gonna share. We're not gonna cover them all, but you can look them up if you want. But I've kind of highlighted a couple of scriptures for each of these different parts of being a follower and a teacher and a learner. The goal is to be like Jesus, okay? And if we look at Luke 6:40, which is at the top there, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. You know, as a follower, you don't rise above the level of your teacher, you know, because then you become the teacher, right? And you're no longer the follower. We are followers of Christ. We're not going to put ourselves above Christ and consider ourselves more important than Christ and God and God's will. When we do that, we eliminate the fact that we're the followers of the teachings of Christ, and we go in our own way, and we become who we think we should be instead of who he thinks we should be. And so a disciple is not above his teacher, but we aim to be like our teacher. We aim to look in every way, shape, and form as Christ looked, you know, to the people of the world around us. And we want to become like our teachers. My students, I've been sick for the last couple of weeks, and my voice is finally just coming back as of yesterday. And we had homecoming on Friday night. Well, my voice wasn't back on Friday night, and I really wasn't able to do that. And I needed to get some rest because I had a busy week. And so I asked one of my students if he would direct the chorus at homecoming for the national anthem. And I went home and went to bed. Well, I also have security cameras, so I was able to watch them. I have the security feed since I'm kind of the IT person there. So I watched them. They got up there. They organized themselves. They got where they were supposed to be. He stepped up there, and one of the guys gave the pitch, and he took off, and he directed and did a wonderful job. You know, I felt proud because they were becoming like their teacher, you know. And this is what Christ's probably, you know, going to be proud of us as we become more and more like his Father, like him, in doing his will. The next thing is marks of discipleship. I hit the right button. Okay. Disciples abide in Jesus' words. They follow. They're followers of the words of Jesus. And we're going to look at the scripture here in John 8:31, which is the next one. It says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Very simple. How do you become a disciple of Christ? You abide in his word. You live by his teachings. You follow the things that he teaches us. And his teachings are there for a purpose. They're to show us the way. They're to guide us along. They're to give us strength. They're to give us hope. They're to give us peace. And when we abide in his words, we are truly his disciples. The next thing is a true disciple loves his brethren, loves the brothers, loves the other people that are followers of Christ as well. And we can see that in John chapter 13. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you that are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So it's not just about following the leader, but it's about also loving the people that's also following the leader. You know, in my class, I want my classes, my students, to love one another as much as they love me. Maybe even more. You know, that I want them to get along, to share in their joys and their sorrows and their hopes and their dreams, because we are one in who we are following, and becoming one in following Jesus Christ. We should all have the same goals, and we should love one another and care about one another as much as we care about the one that we follow. And also, a part of being a disciple is that we bear much fruit. Now, you know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, because sometimes we don't know what fruit we're bearing. We know how to live. We know how to teach. We know what the word says. But sometimes we don't take that word and bear fruit. And I think that's one of our biggest downfalls, is that we're not out there trying to bear more fruit in the way that we could do it. The possibilities are there every day. I'm guilty, you know, that I'm not always in my mind. I'm not thinking about bearing fruit. And yet that he says a disciple is one that bears much fruit. Let's look at John 15:8. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So, in bearing the fruit, we're glorifying God by showing that we're about the things that our teacher has put us out there to do. And in that initial commandment that we read about at his ascension, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all living creatures, you know, he tells us to go out and do that, and I think sometimes we fail in those lines to bear the kind of fruit that we need to bear. So how does discipleship begin? It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So again, teaching them what we were taught, to observe all the teachings of Jesus Christ. And he makes us a promise. He'll be with us. He'll go with us. And we're, you know, we're studying Jeremiah on Wednesday nights. And poor old Jeremiah, he's out there amongst the world of wolves. And they're trying to eat him alive. They're seeking to kill him and all sorts of things. And God says, Jeremiah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Trust me. I am with you. Take my message out to these people. You know, you're a faithful servant, and so I'm going to be with you. And that's the promise that he makes to all of us, that he will be with us. Jeremiah didn't always have it good. You know, Jeremiah got beat up a few times, you know. Jeremiah, you know, had to deal with people in his own hometown, family members seeking to kill him. You know, it wasn't about now, but it was about what was to come. And God tells Jeremiah to continue to be faithful. Stay strong. Jeremiah gets to a point where he says, I feel like giving up. And God says, don't give up. Be strong. You can do this. Go out and tell them my word, what's going to happen to them. And so if that sounds intriguing to you, come on Wednesday night to our class. The beginning of discipleship involves baptism. It's not all about baptism. You know, baptism is just a sign that says, I'm choosing to become a follower, okay? It's an initial sign that we give off by saying we're going to commit our lives to God and we're going to follow what God's will is. And one of the first things he tells us to do is to repent and be baptized. He goes into great detail on that in Romans chapter 6. Why baptism? Of course, we're all familiar with this scripture here. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. That's us. Everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. We're the far off. And this calling is still for us. He also says, what in Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. The powerful working of God. There's power that comes with this commitment through this baptism. And he talks about that. It includes teaching and obedience. You know, we talked in class about obedience and doing the will of God. We are to be taught. We are to be the learners that we talked about on that first slide. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves. Now, they didn't just hang around. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Devotion is not just a word to be taken lightly. I mean, it is something that you vow, that you promise, and that you follow through with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to teach one another, to fellowship with one another, and to join in the remembrance of God through the breaking of bread. Then we are to be doers. That's the action that was on that early slide. In James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. A follower doesn't just hear what they're supposed to do and sit around and not do it. That would be kind of ridiculous. A follower is one that hears what they're supposed to do through the message that God gives us through his word, and they go out and they do it. You know, just do it. You know, the Nike thing, you know, just do it. We're not to just do it. We are to do it right. And we're to do it the way that God intended for us to do it. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Think about the things that we've talked about today. And, oh, I guess that was close to the end. I guess that was the end. We are to be teachers. We are to be learners. We are to be doers. And Jesus, by his example, he was the teacher. We hear him called the master. He's the master teacher. He's the doer. He followed the will of God in the face of Satan's temptations, in the face of persecution, in the face of death on the cross. He did it. And because of his actions that he did as a follower of his Father, we also need to take action as followers of our Father. So is there a difference between being a believer and being a disciple? Yes, there is. You can believe, even he says, even the demons believe, is not about just believing, but it's putting into action the things that he has done for us. If you need to share with us any the things that are going on in your life that you're struggling with, that we might be able to help you. If you just need to come back and say, please pray for me. I'm struggling in such ways that I just cannot deal with it. Would you help me find strength through prayer and through encouragement? You know, anything like that. And if you need to be baptized, you know, just start the process of following Jesus Christ. We can do that. We offer that at this time as we stand and we sing number 15.
You'll lead me, and I will follow you.